to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 22. But then we're going to make our way around the book, just kind of like we have over the last several weeks. We've been bouncing around and talking about specific topics that come up. Last week was the power of words. Words was the subject. We've talked about the heart, and we've talked about the fool. And this week, we're going to look at humility. But let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, would you please bless our time together this morning? As we open up your word, we ask, God, that you would open up our hearts. We need to learn from you. We need to learn from Jesus, who himself was humility embodied. Show us who he is. Show us who we are. Change us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Wisdom is the great subject of the book of Proverbs. We've sought to define what wisdom is, and let me just give you a brief definition of reminder. Wisdom is living skillfully according to God's design while acknowledging the fallenness of man. So it's skillful living according to the way that God has designed the universe, the principles, the laws that he has put into the fabric of what it means to be a human being in his world, but then also taking into account that I live in a fallen world and things don't always go the way that they should. I thought about two fictional characters that would not model the wisdom that we're talking about. First was Pollyanna. So the wise man is not a Pollyanna who refuses to see the evil and the brokenness in the world that we live in. But the wise man is also not the Joker who gives in to all the evil in the world that we live in. And so the wise man aims to be obedient to the will of the Lord. He wants to honor Christ above all things in spite of the evil that is around him. Today we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. One verse. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. There's a great reward for the humble man. We're told that it is riches and honor and life. So I've got two primary questions about this humility. What is it? What is humility? And also, how do I get it? How do I become humble? First question, what is humility? The first thing that I want to describe to you is its divine origin. So humility does not originate inside of my own heart. It does not originate somewhere in this world. It originates with God himself. It starts in his character. That's where the source of humility is. Our God designed the world for two basic functions, to bring glory to himself and to do good to all that he made. That's what God sought to do in creating the world. He was going to honor himself, bring glory to himself, praise to his name, and to every creature he sought to do good to them. God is perfection. He's holiness, he's love, he's beauty. And the highest act of man, anything that we could possibly do, the greatest thing that we could do is to celebrate God for who he is, to enjoy him. So the greatest act that man can have is worship, to worship the Lord. And worship is not simply the singing of songs and praise of God. It's not just the singing of songs. It's not just stepping into a church building on Sunday mornings. It's the overflow of the heart in joy as it celebrates him, wherever that is. In whatever activity that you're doing, you can worship God. God made you. God made this world for that very thing, to praise him. And that's the highest good that God can do for you and in you, is to lead you to worship. In the act of creation, God brought glory to himself in all that he did. This morning, Angel read from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Think about it. The heavens declare it. They scream it. They proclaim it. Everything that he has made declares that he is glorious. Everything. And his creation is never more blessed than when it does that very thing. We're never more joyful. We're never more happy. We're never closer to the design that God created us for than when we are praising him. So embedded in the design of the universe, God aimed in creating it to show off how glorious he is. For the continuous good and pleasure and fulfillment and joy and satisfaction of his creatures. So the design of creation is the glory of God and the good of man. And not only was this God's purpose in creating the world, this is the purpose that he has made you to live for. He has made you to live for his glory and the good of man. Which, if you want to get specific of what that looks like, the highest good that you can do for any other person is to help to lead them to worship. And so the greatest good that you can do for anybody out there right now is to lead them to Jesus Christ, which then enables them to worship God and fulfill the purpose for why they were made. You're not really stepping on their toes. You're trying to help them fulfill their design. Sin has perverted that design. The sin that is in you does not want to give glory to God. What do you want to do? You want to glorify yourself. You want to make much of you. And I want to make much of me. That's what sin does. It twists the purpose for why we were made. Sin leads our hearts to self-glory, self-absorption. And so it turns the design of God upside down. And the essence of this sin, the name for this sin, is pride. Pride. Romans chapter 1 gives a little bit of definition to that. It says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Instead of fulfilling the design for why God made them, to bring honor and glory and praise and to enjoy him, they started worshiping the creature themselves, us, the world, instead of the one who made it." So the sin of mankind turns the creative purpose of God on its head. And the height of foolishness, the height of foolishness is to work against the design of God. So prideful man, he is at odds with the universe. He's gone his own way. He does what he wants to, what he thinks is best. Does not listen to the Lord. Self-willed. He has rejected the purpose for why he was made. And so can you see why God is so opposed to sin and the pride of man with every fiber of his being? And why mankind deserves the consuming wrath of God? They reject him. They don't care about what he says. Most people out there right now, it's amazing, they don't even care that he exists. Don't think twice about this God who made them for his glory, and yet they choose to live for their own. The Proverbs only confirm the path of the prideful fool, where he is going, what he will receive. 16:5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. That's the path that he is walking to. He is going to reap what he is sowing. You want your own way? God says you're going to get it. You'll get your own way and the fruit of it. Same chapter, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction is coming to the foolish man who does not live according to God's design, for God's glory, for the good of mankind, but for his own. Destruction is coming. We are far too dismissive, I think, at times of what we sometimes refer to as human nature. Well, that's just human nature. No, that's just sin. That's destructive, self-glorifying, God-hating sin. And hell will be filled with those self-glorifying, self-serving, self-loving creatures who spurn God's design for what we call human nature. We shouldn't be so dismissive of it. The Lord is not. But we're here to talk about humility, not just pride. So let me flip it around a little bit. At the heart of humility is a desire to live according to God's design, a want to live according to why he made me, to bring glory to him, to serve my fellow man, to do good to them, just like the Lord designed the world to be, a place where he is praised and a place where the good of man exists. So humility has a divine origin. It starts in the character of God. That is where it originates. We also want to know what it looks like in human beings. So what is its human expression? What does it look like? And I want to give you three characteristics of humility from the book of Proverbs. Three characteristics of humility from Proverbs. The first, from Proverbs chapter 12. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So you see that the wise man here being opposed to the fool who always does what is right in his own eyes. He's prideful. He thinks he knows better. The fool doesn't listen to anybody except himself, but the wise man, the humble man, he listens to advice. So that humble man is teachable. He's teachable. Because if he knows one thing, it's that he does not know everything. He's learned to distrust his own heart. He's learned to distrust his own impulses. Do you ever stop and just kind of pause for a second when you have this impulse to speak or this impulse to respond in some way or to act? Do you ever think to yourself, you know, I might not have the right motivation here? Have you learned to distrust yourself? So the wise man here, he asks for advice. He's a learner. That's what's at the bottom of the most well-known Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him and He'll guide your steps. You're a learner. Several times in these opening chapters, the father is telling his son to hear. Hear his teaching. Listen to what he has to say. Do not reject what I tell you. The wise son listens to his father. He's teachable. He knows that he does not know everything. He knows that he needs to be taught. He knows that his heart needs to be changed. Do you know that? Can you say that you are a teachable person? That you listen to good advice? That's what the humble man does. Secondly, the humble man is lowly. Lowly. Proverbs 29 says, "One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor." So here it's clear that the opposite of pride is lowliness. We also know the opposite of pride is humility. Proverbs 16, "It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." And so lowliness does not mean having bad self-esteem or a lack of personal worth. That's not what it's talking about here. It's describing a heart that is not puffed up to think too highly of itself. It esteems itself rightly, not above others. And isn't that what the sinful heart is inclined to do? You know, maybe I'm not always comparing myself to all the people out there in the world, but my heart is inclined to compare myself to you, people closest to you. People in your circle or in your neighborhood or in your family. And if I can just get myself one rung up on you, then my heart feels satisfied. But the humble heart is lowly. Not going to puff itself up. It's not going to see itself as too good to associate with those people, whoever they are. The poor, the outcasts. Those who don't fit in well. And we're not just talking about the people that are out there in the world somewhere. We're talking about the folks inside the church. Because that happens in churches too and causes divisions and rips apart unity. And you're naturally going to be friends and spend time with the people who have common interests as you. But this is describing an attitude that turns its nose up at a certain group or kind of people. A heart that's hardened because it sees them as being beneath you. And nobody's going to come in here and admit that. But you need to understand that that is what your heart is prone to do, to lift itself up over somebody. Or some group. I'd say every person in this room has somebody or some group that your heart wants to exalt itself in some way over. Who is it? The humble man wants to root that out and grow in lowliness. Lastly, the humble man is other-focused. He's other, outward, not me, focused. The humble man wants to take care of you. He's always thinking about you and your needs. He doesn't run everything through the filter of how is this going to affect me? How is this going to make me look? How is this going to make me feel if I do that? Take care of that person, do that thing. The best verse that I know of in the entire Bible that describes this is Philippians chapter 2, two verses, 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. What does it look like? Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests. So we're going to do that. We're going to take care of me. I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to put clothes on my back. I'm going to make sure that I have shelter. I'm going to look after my own interests. But we're told to also look after the interests of others. That's what the humble person does. Again, the prideful man is going to see the whole world through the lens of what do I get out of this? What do I get? What's going to happen to me? The proud are overly concerned about protecting themselves. This is why correction is so hurtful to the prideful man. It hurts to be corrected. It's an offense to him. It's an attack on his very character. Because everything comes back to me. You're not just correcting what I'm doing. You're saying I'm bad at that. He's always worried what it makes him look like. It's as if every action or word is aimed at building a better resume for the prideful man. A better presentation of self. Oh, I get to add that to my resume. As long as my resume is a little bit better than yours, I'm good. Social media has only intensified that desire in people. It plays to this. It doesn't have to, but that's what the human heart does. It takes something that could be completely neutral or something completely good and twist it. So now everything that she's posting makes you feel like garbage. And everything you're posting is aimed to make you look a little bit better than her, or at least as good as her. Instead of celebrating and being thankful for the good that's happening to her. Trying to prove something to this person or that person. That you're really good enough or you're really okay. So again, it all comes back to me. And that's what pride has always been about long before social media ever came around. But it's not this way with the humble. The humble woman is not always continually thinking about herself. C.S. Lewis said this about humility. When it comes to writing, I don't know who the modern C.S. Lewis might be, but he was always able to say things succinctly that drove the point home. And I think he hits it here. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So it doesn't mean just beating yourself up and trying to drive your self-esteem down or your personal worth down. No, it's just thinking of yourself less. Less often running the world through the filter of me. Now, I think that statement could be qualified a little bit because humility may very well mean that you should think less of yourself if you think too highly of yourself. It certainly means you need to think more about others. But he is absolutely saying that we all should spend less time thinking about ourselves. Don't weigh every word and every action on how it will affect you, what others will think about you, how you're going to look to the world. Do what's right. aim at the good of other people without being overly concerned about your appearance. The humble will be finding ways to make Matt look better and better and be better, and then celebrate the fact that he looks and is better without thinking about myself. Lewis would go on to say, the moment that you then think about yourself, even as you helped Matt, you've ruined it. Because again, you've thought about yourself and what you did to improve that person or help that person. Humility or pride is insidious. It is always trying to find a place to insert itself and ruin it. Always. This should speak to every room in this heart, because pride is in every heart in this room. I think I just messed that statement up, didn't I? It certainly speaks to me. I have lived far too often in the realm of pride, far too concerned about the applause of other people or what this makes me look like, when all that really matters in the grand scheme of things is what the Lord thinks, not what you think, not what I think. It doesn't even matter what I think about myself. It matters what the Lord thinks about me and what he says about me. That's what's true. That's what's right. I have failed to help other people for concern about my own resources. I failed to speak at times because of the concern of how I might be seen. I've ministered with the appearance of wanting God to be glorified, when what I've really been concerned about is how I will be glorified. Pride sneaking into everything. But humility is other-focused. It's other-focused. It wants the best for you. It conforms to the purpose of why God made this world. Back to what I said at the beginning. Humility conforms to a desire to glorify God and do good to other people. And so when I act in humility, when I am humble, I'm carrying out my purpose on the earth, the design that God made me for, to show that he is my treasure, that he is the most valued thing in my heart, and then to seek to do good for you, even at great cost to myself. That's what the humble man will do. Pride is twisted self-love, but humility is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So you can see, even in the fabric of relationship, the laws that God has given, they all go this direction. Bring glory to God and seek the good of your neighbor. Thought an interesting thought this week, that if sin had not entered the world, humility, words like humility and love, would never have been in our vocabulary, because there would never have been anything different. Nothing to distinguish them from this. There would have been no pride, so there wouldn't have had to have been humility. There wouldn't have been any hate, so there wouldn't be any love. It's just all humility and all love. That would have been human nature. It's kind of like the fish that are out there swimming in the water, and somebody points out, hey, how's the water today? And they say, what are you talking about? What's water? We'd have been like, humility, love. We wouldn't have known any different. Heaven will be like that. There will be nothing done that isn't loving and isn't humble. There will be nothing done that is not for the glory of God and the good of neighbor. Nothing. Everything will be aimed at that. There will be no preachers in heaven that have to remind you of it. We'll just all know it in our hearts. It'll be written there, and we'll follow it. There's another word that wouldn't exist without sin, and that's grace. So we've talked about what is humility. We need to talk for a few moments about how do I get it. Because like I said last week, when we're talking about words, you know, we can make it up in our minds. Like we see, don't we? Don't you see in your own heart how you are prideful? The Word of God points that out to you. You know it. And you say to yourself, I'm going to be more humble. And then what happens? Tomorrow you're not. How do I get it? How do I get this thing called humility? And grace is foundational for answering that question. The only way that you can get humility is seeing your need for it first. And I hope that you've seen that right now this morning. That you desperately need humility. But the only way that you can get it is if you will receive it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just going to conjure it up on your own. Not just going to make it happen. It has to be given to you from the outside because it does not naturally come from the inside. My heart left to itself will not produce humility. It just won't do it because I am not naturally humble. If you could describe my heart to be a factory that's producing a product with the materials that are already inside of me, humility will never come off of the assembly line, ever. At least not the way the Bible describes it. A humility that is always concerned about the glory of God with every thought, word, and deed. Always desiring your good. Our hearts aren't inclined to it because sin has polluted every heart. So humility has to be given because it's not natural inside of me. I read to you a little while ago from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul goes on to describe where humility comes from. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Even inside this statement, there's a proverb that says that God exalts the humble, but he brings low the proud. So even here you see that Jesus humbled himself. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. So the heart is always wanting to exalt itself. Be its own publicity manager, its own marketer. Show you how great I am in every conversation. Always slipping in just a little bit here about how I know a little bit about that. Or I may be a little better than you are at this. That's what pride does. It wants to exalt self. Because we want to be exalted. But God says, if you desire to be exalted, he wants to exalt us. How will it happen? Only through humility. Only if God lifts you up. You lift up yourself, he will destroy you. He will crush you. Because that's what sin wants, to puff self up. And God will not leave it unpunished. But if you will be humble, the Lord will lift you up. And the only way that you will be lifted up is if you are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, God will see you as humble because his Son surely is. So Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. And you have this mind because you are in Christ Jesus. He's saying that Christ is imparting his mind to you. His desire to do good to others at great expense to himself. If you are his, you are now able to be humble through the power that lives inside of you. But not on your own. Only in Christ Jesus. So if you want the humility that pleases God, you have to come to his Son. He has it. It's with him. He is it. Through Christ Jesus, praise God. Praise God. We are now capable of keeping that command of humility. And it is all because of God's grace. So if you've got a humble heart that loves to care for other people, that delights in bringing praise to your God, give praise right back to him again. Because it certainly didn't come from you. And God's glory and the good of your neighbor is now your joy. It is not a grueling command anymore. You want to. The temptation to exalt self is still going to be in there, isn't it? But Christ can overwhelm it with his power. And you become wise as your heart is made humble. Brothers and sisters, God is restoring the world to its right order, to his design. Every human heart that is reclaimed and redeemed by the gospel is the kingdom of God made reality on earth. That is Jesus reclaiming territory for himself. And it starts inside the man, inside the woman, inside the child. That's where the kingdom of God is made a reality on earth. And one day, everything will be as it was intended, and even better. As every person that you interact with, every one of them will glorify God. Always, always aim at bringing praise to their Creator. And every act that they do will be for the good of their neighbor. Heaven will be filled with the humble. And they might not even realize it. It will just be the way things are. I never came back to our opening verse, but this is the place for it. The reward for humility there from Proverbs 22:4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. In Christ, that is our inheritance forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the promise of humility to those who know you and love you. And we admit before you this morning, Father, that we are not naturally humble. Every person in this room, if left to his or herself, would want to exalt self. We are twisted on the inside. But because of your great mercy, you have pursued us and promised us that you would give us a renewed and restored heart that wants to glorify you and love our fellow man. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only showed us what humility looks like, but he now empowers us to be humble people. Give us more of it as we seek the good of the people inside of this room, the people in our homes, our neighbors, and around the world, that we would seek to see them know Jesus Christ so that they can fulfill your design for them, to worship you and to always do good to those around them. Do it in us, please, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.